A Midday with Howie Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
This is Mind Your Business on Money FM 89.3 as we look at the massive SME sector here in Singapore. Despite its name, 99% of businesses here are in the SME sector, and also it powers half our economy. Now, the UN is partnering Singapore online marketplace builder Arcadia to defeat non-communicable diseases around the world. Dinok Ranasinghe is the CEO of Arcadia. He's joining us to talk about their Singapore to the World growth story and how multi-market and multi-vendor online marketplaces will be the future of commerce. Dinok, thanks so much for coming this morning.
Good morning, Harry. Well, pleasure to be here.
So let's head back a couple of years. This was in 2013, I think, when you started. What was the impetus for Arcadia?
Well, Arcadia started, as you say, in 2013 by three people, myself, Kenneth Lowe, who's a Singaporean, and Paul Kaskin, an Australian. The three of us were looking at the market overall, thinking, as an entrepreneur, what could we do to improve the lives of communities and SMEs. And Ken and I are former PayPal executives. And so our first foray was towards payments. And as we were launching products in the marketplace and working with different customers, we had one particular customer who came to us and said, can you build a marketplace for us? We love your payments products, but can you build a marketplace? And of course, as an SME back then, we thought, yes, we'll take that project and build it. And as we were building it and researching in the world how marketplaces were being created, we realized there was a gap in the market.
What gap was this, though?
It was the creation of online marketplaces. If you wanted to build a marketplace 5 years ago, you had to spend millions of dollars, and it could take up to a year to build. And so we realized not everyone had those deeper pockets or that time frame. So the gap in the market was really about speed and about being inexpensive. So we tackled that. So we built a number of marketplaces around the world, China, Latin America, Singapore, and Australia.
How did you bypass those challenges? Of the amount of time and the amount of money needed?
We approached the projects as they weren't bespoke. Everyone said they're a bespoke solution. And so a ground-up build can take a year, given that everyone says we're very unique. But in the end, there's an 80-20 rule. 80% of features would apply to every marketplace. So then we approached it as a software solution. So as software, can you deploy solutions quickly? So we took the build period down from a year down to months. And down, the cost was down from millions of dollars down to tens of thousands of dollars. But even then, there was an opportunity to go even further.
How did you tackle, though, some of the challenges you faced initially? I imagine the infrastructure wasn't there yet. Lack of deep pockets, so to speak.
Yeah, so the challenges around infrastructure, as you say, in terms of we had to invent the infrastructure around it. And so we created a SaaS platform, so self-service. Not having deep pockets meant we couldn't service clients on a one-to-one basis. So they had to be self-service. So as a small business we're trying to grow, we're trying to, I guess, maximize the investment we had placed in our business and our capital. So the software as a service model is what we developed. And in 2 years, 7,000 marketplaces on our platform from over 130 countries is testament to the scale we reached quickly. You know, there are over 2 million SKUs on our platform, and they range from retail products to services. So we tackle anything from a retail industry to manufacturing, and our client base includes small SMEs or entrepreneurs to communities to large corporates. So the scale of our business showed that one, there was demand for this technology, not just from SMEs but from large corporates, but also there was a need for it in the market as well.
Sounds like you were bursting at the seams, or you may have been bursting at the seams as you progressed 2-3 years in. It was a case of a happy problem, no doubt. But did you have to expand the team? Was it challenging finding people to come on board?
I guess with like all SME companies, you never had one role. So we were a small company and you had to do multiple things. So one day Ken was operations manager, and the next day he was marketing manager. One day I'm fundraising, and the next day I'm trying to do business development as well. So you take more multiple roles. The team expanded to 45 as it is today, and we'll look to expanding another 100 people within the next 12 months. So great problem to have, but the challenge is, as you asked me about earlier, is access to talent. Where do you find these 100? Because it's not easy to find the talent in Singapore.
Sounds like you haven't slept since 2013, Dinok.
I haven't had a full night's sleep at all.
No. How are you tackling that then on the personal level, say, juggling the time, family commitments, etc.?
You know, I've been asked this question a few times. I guess it comes down to passion. This is not a chore, this business. We see small businesses start from nothing and develop models where they're self-sustainable. We see communities addressing the needs of their local market. So that puts a spring in your step. So it's not like working a corporate job where you're working long hours and have no sleep. You're working long hours, but you actually enjoy what you do and you love getting to work every morning.
Yeah, it's not work anymore.
No, it's not. It's a passion. It really is a passion. And if you look at our team, if you take out the three founders, the average age would be 25, and they work such long hours and with such determination, it's inspiring.
Let's talk about the pharma space that you're kind of heading into now. UN is partnering you in the online market space for the battle against non-communicable diseases. Talk us through that.
Sure. The problem of NCDs is global, and it's described by the UN as the biggest health crisis of our age, which is quite frightening when you think about it, that it covers cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancer, and mental health. There are 41 million deaths per annum from this, and I personally think that's low because not everyone is diagnosed with these diseases. And so when you factor in a non-diagnosis, the problem is massive. And so the biggest problem that the UN is trying to tackle is access. When you look at the...
Access to medicines.
Access to medicines.
Okay.
So access to medicines, to pharmaceutical equipment, and to diagnostic equipment as well. When you look at the poorest 100 countries, they don't have access. And so what this marketplace is tackling is that problem itself.
But these poorer marketplaces may not even have sort of internet access or the infrastructure to get online.
That's part of our challenge in growing this solution, is understanding exactly what are the constraints in scaling this marketplace to these poor countries.
Some of the concerns going into something that has so much more at stake than just profitability for Arcadia.
Mm-hmm. The concerns are really around getting it right because we can't afford to make mistakes here. This is not a pilot program where we can test and learn, make big mistakes, learn from it, lick our wounds, and then move on. We have to get it right from day one. And so understanding, one, the needs of the countries in terms of having access, affordability, that's one thing. But we also, when you consider a marketplace, there's a second side of that, which is the supply side. So it's not just benefiting one side over the other. You have to look at both parties. So what are the seller issues that you have to tackle as well in terms of transparency of transaction, a fair transaction? So we have to balance that equation and be impartial about that as well.
How are you going to approach the big pharma? Oftentimes they've been lauded as evil empires.
Yeah, I actually think pharma is being given a bad rap.
Mm.
I actually don't think pharmas are evil. I think they do a great job in terms of research and development and launching new drugs. I guess it's a question of the cost of delivery. When you add on X factory production to logistics and distribution, that's when the costs go up. So we have to look at a whole of, I guess, supply chain or value chain solution here. So not just it's a pharma problem, it could be a distribution problem as well.
It's an ecosystem you're trying to build as well, obviously. That's
absolutely right. And we were lucky enough to have Enterprise Singapore support us in our bid for this project. And the reason they got involved was, yes, they supported Arcadia as a growing company, but also it means for Singapore overall, it brings in other companies as well, so logistics companies, warehousing companies, finance organisations. So as you say, it's an ecosystem solution that we're looking at overall.
What's in it for you guys, though? All sounding very altruistic at this point, but still, you're a businessman, right?
Yes, absolutely. And so we're not treating this like a pure CSR or corporate social responsible project. This is a sustainable project. A lot of people talk about sustainability in terms of recycling or that type of...
Green issues, yeah.
That's right. But sustainability also has to be around commercial. So for the
viability of the business, of course, your survival.
Exactly. And so for us, when we look at this project with the UN, is how do we make this a marketplace that can generate revenue, but not in an ugly way, which is purely about profits, but in a way that serves the needs of the marketplace beneficiaries, which are the buyers, but also develop revenues for investors. So there's a balance there as well. So that then tells the market you can create a business model which is sustainable and not rely on donors.
And it helps out the community as well.
That's it.
We don't have to look at CSR and giving back as something that is a loss to the company in terms of money, in terms of profitability.
No, you do not at all. There can be returns which you give to the business or to shareholders, which one is what they're looking for, but you do it in a responsible way, which has an outcome, which has benefits for humanity.
Why is this important to you, Dinuk? I mean, you don't have enough to do. Is it?
Yeah.
Want to take on more,
yeah,
larger challenges?
My 5 hours
of
sleep is way too much. When I was approached by the UN to join their board on Defeat NCD partnership, it was around as an advisor. And that was about 6 months ago. And the reason I joined was really I was convinced by the chief executive of the secretariat, Dr. Kapila, that this is a problem that affects our entire generation.
So in what capacity? As a businessman?
As a businessman, as an expert in marketplace. Mm. But he called me to join the board because he appealed to my sense of right. When I look at NCDs, I think about my two boys. One is 3.5, the other one's 18 months. And I have a family history of heart disease, of diabetes, and of strokes. And so, unfortunately for them, they are born with that genetic makeup in their composition. But fortunately for them, they're growing up in Singapore. And Singapore has access to some of the best health in the world. Not everyone has that. There are hundreds of millions of children and young people and old people who don't have that access. So in my capacity, in Arcadis' capacity, we can tackle that with the UN. And we can do that in a sustainable way too. So it's not just distracting us, it adds to our business, but it helps them too.
So it's not personal experience per se, but it's hit close to home for you.
It's very close to home for me.
Where do you see it heading in the near future?
I like to see a level playing field where there's transparency of transaction between buyer and seller, that there is pooled buying power created by multiple countries that can say, hey, in the past, we didn't have the buying capacity to get good prices. But now as a group, as a buying group, we can get good prices. And for suppliers, that can look at it as an opportunity to enter new markets. It could be SMEs joining the marketplace to get their products into new countries as well, which help themselves, but also help the buying nation too.
What do you foresee is the biggest challenge, though? You know, once there are too many cooks.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge is going to be putting a lid on expansion, not in terms of country expansion, but in terms of what's being sold in it. So
that's odd, though, putting a lid on expansion. Not many people want to do that, or many businessmen want to do that. Expansion is the key to growth, right?
It is, absolutely. So in terms of market expansion, that's going to be critical in terms of having it available in 100 countries for access purposes. But the expansion I'm talking about is really around supply expansion. Because if we open up the marketplace just to just anyone, then we are saying it's okay to sell on this marketplace to these buying countries. So we have to look at every supplier that comes on board, whether it's a pharmaceutical company or a equipment supplier, and say, no matter where you're from, we have to look at you and say, do you add value? And what is your aim here as well? And are you willing to look at discounted prices as well? So that's how we look at curtailing expansion in that regard.
Are you also looking into whether or not they're legit per se?
That's it. Yeah. We'll look at the legitimacy of the organisation. Do they have a history of bad commercial practices and so on? So we'll look at, I guess, the end-to-end value of that organisation.
That's a mammoth task, though, Dinok.
It is. It is, but someone's got to start it somewhere. And if no one starts it, it won't get done. So we'll take up the baton here and we'll start the process. And we hope other organisations will join us in this fight.
You can check them out at arcadia.com. It's ARCADIER.com to see all the great work they're doing. Dinok Ranasinghe is the CEO there. Dinok, thank you again.
Thanks, Howie.